And because iniquity abounds, love of most will grow cold. Sad that love is make-believe. What struck me was that kind of love that goes cold because of abounding iniquity is make-believe love. There's make-believe love and there's true love. There's make-believers and there's true believers. Make-believers are trying to get by on make-believe love. But there's a true love for true believers. I think I touched on this the last time that I was here, because when the Lord gave it to me, he said, don't go any place or say anything anymore without sharing this first thing. And what I wanted to share with you, I'll just summarize it in brief, because I do think I said it then, and I don't want to bore too badly those of you who were here then. I was in a patent office in Dusseldorf, Germany in 1987, and I was in a real desperate place with the Lord. He had me between a rock and a hard place, so I was really praying. And then he met me in this patent office, and at that point in time, there were a couple of things that you need to know about me then. One of them was I had discovered by that time that my expectations are my greatest enemy. Yeah. I had discovered that, because whenever they weren't lived up to, I became part of the problem. And the other thing that was in my hopper at the time was that what Jesus had said, greater love than this knoweth no man, but that he laid down his life for his friends. That for me was part of the gospel. Only I was having a terrible time with it, because I've had days this side of getting to know the Lord when I've had some bad days. And I didn't feel much like his friend on those days. And a gospel that's good for friends really wasn't far. Its reach came somewhat short of where I felt I was. I was, even then, still feeling like an enemy in my mind because of my fallenness or evil behavior or wickedness or just dried out failure, sense of failure. So, what I saw was asking the Lord about it, and I had a verse of scripture going through my mind. It was from 1 John. Perfect love casts out fear. It was kind of just keep going over in my mind like an old melody like that. And then when it came to mind, I thought, oh, that's interesting. Love casts out fear. And the Lord rebuked me like that. He said, no, love creates fear. Perfect love casts out fear. And then the Lord opened the gospel to me against that background in this patent office, okay? And what it was, he said, no, that wasn't the gospel when I said that. That was the state of the art. To get a patent, you have to describe the state of the art. You have to describe as good as it gets. You have to describe the best that's already known. And then against that background, if you do it right, then you describe what you have that you think is new. And if you can do that to the satisfaction of the patent examiners, you can get a patent, and there you are. So Jesus said, no, that was just a state-of-the-art statement. And he said, but then you can see it in Romans 5. Let's turn to Romans 5 just for a moment. Because Jesus elaborates on it there in Romans 5 a little bit. And this is a real patent verse for me. This has become for me what I call my love patent message. In 5:6. Paul says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. That's as good as it gets.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. But God demonstrates his love in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Then he goes on and down in verse 10, for if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved by his life?
Amen.
God, you mean, he died for me while I was your enemy. Nobody ever saw that before. In Isaiah 52 it says, kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they had not seen, they will see. Until the cross, no one had ever seen it. But it was a kind of love that's good for enemies. Never been seen before. The world still needs to see it.
Amen.
We need to see it. We need to discover it. We need to discover it not only coming at us, but we need to discover it coming at us to the point where it begins to come out of us. Because if we're not plugged in, it's not going to come out. It has to come. So we need to know that we know that we know that we are loved by Him so much that He would give His life for us, and has, even though we took it. If there was no one else in the, if I couldn't find anybody else, I'd be sufficient for Him to have died. If there was nobody else ever lived, I would have been the abomination that made Him desolate. I said, Lord, how is that possible that You loved me so much that You gave Yourself for me on my worst day? He said, well, the day I said I love You, I nailed my expectations to the tree.